by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله مدي فيوز وبندل إن شاء الله ما شاء الله عز وجل سبحان الله How was your Eid? الله أكبر The month of Ramadan has gone, hasn't it? Which means we are in which month now? What comes after the month of Ramadan? Who knows? How many people feel like Ramadan has come? When it comes to what's the name of the month? You know, possibly 95 to 100%, maybe even 100. Of course, children are children. But otherwise, everyone, nearly everyone, you know, some people is strange when they come to learn as to what some people practice or what some people do. Yes, like, you know, I've come across some people, they don't know that alcohol is haram. And you think, who wouldn't know that alcohol is haram? But, you know, it's sometimes quite strange, and some people, they don't even know this, depending on, you know, what you experience. And subhanAllah. But the point being is, why are we talking about all of this? Yes, coming back to our point, the point was that Allahu Akbar, there are so many people, yes, possibly 90, 95, 100% maybe, or close to 100. I can say close to 100 at least, because those few people don't have much of an impact. Close to 100% of people, yes, they know, well, a few days ago, this is the month of Ramadan. And now that would go from like up there in the chart, all the way down here. Now I would say maybe 10%. Even those in Arab countries, because the Arab countries don't really go by the Islamic calendar, do they? Meaning they still go by the Gregorian calendar, as does most of the world. And yes, some countries, I think for example China, they have their own calendar. So some countries would have, you know, their own calendars. But generally, most of the world, they go by the international calendar. Is the Gregorian calendar. So we have from 95% plus to possibly, maybe it's 10% of people know what month it is now. And that's, maybe more. The reason being is, if you were to ask me, right now, I've never had to think of it, what's the name of the month? You don't really, I don't think I've thought of it. Although it's only finished just 2 days ago, yeah, but I wouldn't have to think of what month it is. Why? Because what's so important? I'm not saying the month doesn't hold any significance, but I'm saying what is so important which impacts our life during this month? I don't really know. Not really. Or Eid, you would say? But okay, that's just when Ramadan ends. Then the next day is Eid. Yes? People think Eid in a way is part of Ramadan, really. Meaning this is how you would look at it. That's how I used to think of it as a kid. Or at the end of Ramadan, after Ramadan we have Eid. Maybe Eid's part of Ramadan, is it part of a new month? We never used to think of that. But what is the month? It's only because I know the months is why I know what month it is now. I know that now it is the month of Shawwal. Why? Just because I know the months. Not because somebody said, congratulations on the month, it's a new month, the month is Shawwal now. Not really. People would be like, the moon has been sighted, have a good Eid. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mabruk, Eid Kareem, I don't know, whatever people say. Yes? So we know it's Eid, we don't really know the month. And that's because Ramadan is not ordinary month. If you think about it, really, ultimately, Ramadan is not ordinary month. Ramadan is a very, very special month. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us once more to reach the blessed month of Ramadan. Let's go to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. We should begin our day with the recitation of the Quran. And then I'll just share this, you know, we'll speak a little about Eid maybe. And this is what came to my mind first. So maybe inshallah I'll share this with you first. Let's begin our, mashallah, this day. And we should do all the time with the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban رحم والا.
تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا.
بڑی برکت والا ہے وہ کہ جس نے اتارا قرآن اپنے بندے پر جو سارے جہان کو ڈر سنانے والا ہو.
الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا.
وہ جس کے لیے ہے آسمانوں اور زمین کی بادشاہت اور اس نے نا اختیار فرمایا بچہ اور اس کی سلطنت میں کوئی ساجی یعنی شریک نہیں. اس نے ہر چیز پیدا کر کے ٹھیک اندازے پر رکھی.
وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا.
اور لوگوں نے اس کے سوا اور خدا ٹھہرا لیے کہ وہ کچھ نہیں بناتے اور خود پیدا کیے گئے ہیں اور خود اپنی جانوں کے برے بھلے کے مالک نہیں اور نہ مرنے کا اختیار نہ جینے کا نہ اٹھنے کا.
وقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا إفك افتراه وأعانه عليه قوم آخرون.
اور کافر بولے یہ تو نہیں مگر ایک بہتان جو انہوں نے بنا لیا ہے اور اس پر اور لوگوں نے انہیں مدد دی ہے.
فقد جاءوا ظلما وزورا.
بے شک وہ ظلم اور جھوٹ پر آئے.
وقالوا اساطير الاولين اكتتبها فهي تملى عليه بكرة واصيلا.
اور بولے اگلوں کی کہانیاں ہیں جو انہوں نے لکھ لی ہیں تو وہ ان پر صبح و شام پڑھی جاتی ہیں.
قل انزله الذي يعلم السر في السماوات والارض.
تم فرماؤ اسے تو اس نے اتارا ہے جو آسمانوں اور زمین کی ہر چھپی بات جانتا ہے.
انه كان غفورا رحيما.
بے شک وہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے.
وقالوا ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق.
اور بولے اس رسول کو کیا ہوا کھانا کھاتا ہے اور بازاروں میں چلتا ہے.
لولا أنزل إليه ملك فيكون معه نذيرا.
کیوں نہ اتارا گیا ان کے ساتھ کوئی فرشتہ کہ ان کے ساتھ ڈر سناتا.
أَوْ يُلْقَى إِلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ تَكُونُ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ يَأْكُلُ مِنْهَا.
یا غیب سے انہیں کوئی خزانہ مل جاتا یا ان کا کوئی باغ ہوتا جس میں سے کھاتے.
وَقَالَ الظَّالِمُونَ إِن تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا مَسْحُورًا.
اور ظالم بولے تم تو پیروی نہیں کرتے مگر ایک ایسے مرد کی جس پر جادو ہوا.
انظر كيف ضربوا لك الامثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا.
اے محبوب دیکھو کیسی کہاوتیں تمہارے لیے بنا رہے ہیں، تو گمراہ ہوئے کہ اب کوئی راہ نہیں پاتے۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ عز المدی فی زمدن انشاءاللہ۔ How do you celebrate your Eid? What is it that you do? Of course, people will celebrate Eid in their own ways, but generally, most of the time it's the same. Most of the time it is the same. It's just the same thing you did last year, the same thing you did the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that. But the only difference is some of the kids have grown up slightly more, some of the elderly have become more elderly, and some sadly may have even left this world for the eternal abode. I mean, some people may have passed away. But otherwise, what's changed? That's another question. What has changed? Of Eid itself, what has changed? Last 5 years, last 10 years, last 15 years. Yes? What are the things which have slightly changed? Is people don't give as much money anymore. You know, because I was thinking, how much money have I got this Eid? My father, by the way, mashallah, my father still gave me money. And my father, may Allah ta'ala bless him, the quite elderly, is because there's a practice of theirs. So, you know, mashallah, we have quite a large family. Alhamdulillah. We have quite a large family. And my father would give every... But I didn't give any of my kids Eid. This is just something I would speak to the cameraman about. I didn't give any of my kids any money. I didn't give them any Eid. Maybe I should have. Yesterday I was out all day. I couldn't go home and get some money. Maybe that's my excuse. Wallahu alam. But I... You see, so when it comes to money, this is something I've spoken about previously too. With time, a person's mindset changes too. So I remember at first, I was like, no, there's no such thing as money with my children. I'm not going to show them money or anything when it comes to money. If they want something, if I think they deserve it, I'm going to buy it for them. Yes, I'll buy them one thing, I'll buy them this thing, I'll buy them that thing. Yes, whatever it is, inshallah ta'ala, they won't have to worry about it. I'm going to get it for them. But over time, my mindset has changed now. Because I think that children need to learn from a young age even. They need to learn how to be clever with money. They need to know that some things you buy, some things you don't buy. Sometimes there's a need to buy something and you need to buy it. Sometimes you want to buy something but you don't have enough money. So I was wondering, how can I teach myself? I've only got one daughter who's old enough to understand this. So what I did was, I thought, in fact, now I am going to give her money. Now I am going to give her money. First I was thinking, no money. You know, I'll buy Eid presents. On Eid, I'll give her Eid presents. You know, buy her things. So she's got lots of presents or this or that, whatever it may be. But now I've thought, no, I am going to give her money. But now I'm going to do it in a different way. Because I don't want my children to have a greed for money too. So how do I do both? One thing, I don't want them to be greedy for money. So I was saying, let's eliminate money. Meaning, in my family, let's not show them money or, you know, anything got to do with money. Because I don't want them to be greedy. When it comes to it, they'll get big enough, they'll learn about it, etc. But then I thought, no, they should be clever when it comes to money too. Because some people, they become big and they don't know how, they still don't know how to spend. They're 15, 16, 20 years old even, 18. They possibly just got a job. And now they've got some money coming in and, you know, Allah Ta'ala knows what they're going to do with it. So I thought, okay, no, you know, there must be a middle ground. So one thing I came across and I thought, okay, the currency in my household is going to be pages in reading. So alhamdulillah, I have 3 children. May Allah Ta'ala bless them and may Allah Ta'ala protect them from nazar. Yes? And 2 of them are basically too young at the moment. But one, mashallah, recently she has just learned to read. Yes, she's in reception at the moment, mashallah, and she's learning how to read. And I thought, okay, now's the perfect time. So I've gone and bought her basically a library of books. And these go in terms of ease and difficulty, you know, they'll slightly increase with each book. Yes, it'll slightly increase or with each two books or every three books, about two books or so, they'll increase slightly in difficulty. So I've got her these books, and then I said to her, and then I got her a money box, and I said to her that from now on, every time you finish a book, and a book's very, very small, every time you finish a book, I'm going to give you a pound. I'm going to give you a pound. And sometimes she may read a book a day. Yes, sometimes it may take her 2 days to read a book. If she misses a day, then of course, it may take even longer. Wallahu alam. But now she has some sort of, I don't know, how do we get to this? Yes, I'm just speaking generally because speaking about Eid and giving money and whatnot. So the currency in our household, and I'm testing this, by the way. I don't know how good it is. I don't know if it's going to be successful. Right now, I'm sharing it with you. And inshallah, maybe a year down the line, I could, you know, speak more on it. This is what I've started to do. So if they want something, I'll give them a pound every time they finish a book. She'll put that in her money box, and, you know, she could collect her money or whatever it is. But just get her to, don't think too much about it. Put it in your money box. Don't worry about it. But then now, in fact, it's made my life easier too, because sometimes she'll go to the shop and she's already bought something, maybe similar to it. And they're like, and this is, of course, this is basically how it works, this is how these superstores, etc. work. If you see all the kids' stuff, in which aisle is it going to be? All the kids' stuff, go into a superstore and have a look at sugary things, yes, sweets, chocolates, etc., etc., or kids' toys. It'll be in two places you'll find them. One is wherever the kids section is, but they'll be on the bottom shelves. Yes, all the kids stuff on the bottom shelf. Why? Because they're kids and they're going to see that. And another is by the till. So even if you didn't even go to the kids section, you're going to have to go to the till, and then the kids are still going to see those things and they're going to want them. Yes? So sometimes, and you know, kids are kids, they just want whatever. They bought one thing, yeah, no, I don't want anything else. I remember sometimes going to a shopping center, I'll say to my daughter, well, this is what we're talking about, subhanAllah. I'll say to my daughter, okay, you've been a good girl, I'm going to allow you to buy one thing. So she'll go to the first shop, and she'll see something, and she wants to pick that up, or dad, I want this. And I say, look, this is the first shop we've come to, and you know, we can come back to the shop if you want. But don't be, obviously I don't say hasty, I say just relax, maybe you might find something else, yes, which you like more. Maybe you'll find, no, there's nothing else, I want this, are you sure? Just relax, just wait, you know, we'll come back if you want, you might like something else in another shop. No, I want this. Are you sure? Because now you're making a decision, this is basically how I am. If you make a decision, you have to stick with it. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it. But you've made that decision, you have to stick by it. So are you sure? Are you really, really sure? Yes, I'm sure. Just wait, it might be better. No, I'm not going to wait. I want this. Okay, then you're not going to buy nothing else then. Yeah, I won't buy nothing else. And when I've asked her a few times possibly, and, you know, as much as I can try to explain it to her, then I'll go buy it for her. But then what will happen? She'll go to the next show, dad, I want this. I'll say, no, you can't have that. But I'll plead. I'll say, but now you've bought these. You've really bought these. And I said, you can only buy one thing. But I really, really want this. No, I don't want this one. You take this. No, it doesn't work like that. You've bought it now. You've made your decision. You have to stick by it. So basically, you know, I used to experience these sort of things. So now, it's much has become easier for me. Why? Because when she goes to a shop and she says, Dad, I want this. I say, okay, how much does it cost? And it might be, this costs £5, this costs £6, this costs £10, £11. And then I'll say, okay, so in your money box, do you have enough money? Yeah, but Dad, you've got enough money. Or, you know, my mom has enough money, she'll buy it for me. I'll say, no, she doesn't. Or no, she won't buy it. Not I won't buy it. You have to buy it because of the mom will say too. No, you have to buy it with your own money. And she will what? She will then, okay, now, you know, there's rulings. What's theirs, what's not theirs? It's basically put in your money box and that's what you're going to use. Yes, if you want to purchase something, etc., etc. So I'll say, look, I'm not going to buy it. No, do you have enough money? How much money have you got? How much is that? Does that cost £10? She'll be, oh yeah, okay, this is 10. This is the number 10. I can see the number 10. This costs £10. I'll say, do you have £10? I'm not sure. I don't even think she's able to count my money properly. So then I'll be like, okay, but I don't think you do have £10. We'll go home. We'll count your money. If you've read 10 books, have you read 10 books, and you've not spent it before, that is, and then I will come and I will buy this for you. She goes home, and then so she'll agree. So it makes life easy for me, because she says, no, I want to buy. You don't have enough money. They're going to call the police. You can't take it without paying them. And subhanAllah, this has worked out easy for me now. So every time we go to a shop, if she wants something, can you afford it? Simple. Do you have enough money to get it? If you don't have enough money, then how are you going to get it? So subhanAllah, this is one of those things. I think it's made it easy for me too. But at the same time, it's teaching her that money doesn't come easily. Secondly. Thirdly, you've got to earn it. And fourthly, how are you going to earn it? In my household, is by reading. If you read, I'll give you money. If you want something, how much does it cost? Does it cost £100? I don't mind. I'll buy you, but have you read 100 books? It might take you a month, it might take you 2 months, it might take you 3 months. Yes? Earn £100 and then you can buy it, no problem, inshallah ta'ala. But, and this is how I've done it, this is our currency. Pages or books, of course it depends on the size of books, and inshallah as she gets older then with more books, you know, inshallah she'll get more. Why did I get to that? Yes, because of Eidi. We give our kids money. And subhanAllah, sometimes you'll give them something, you know, you want to buy something. Okay, here you go. And they'll go to the shop, they'll go to the store, and for example, maybe a £20 note. They'll give the £20 note, they'll take a sweet which maybe costs £1, and then they'll walk away because they don't understand money. So in a sense, you want to teach them to understand money, but at the same time, try not to be greedy for money. Yes, and not to waste, etc. Try not to be greedy for money at the same time. How to do that? We should be doing that. Because we need to teach our kids. There's a lot we need to teach our kids. Inshallah. Yes, so Eid. Some people will be thinking, this guy is the worst. You know, the worst example. The worst guy to be on TV. Other people will be thinking, look at the other children. Look at that. He didn't give his kids Eid. But maybe I will give them Eid, inshallah. Maybe I will. Right now they're not with me, but inshallah, maybe I will give them, because I did intend to. I just didn't get around to it. So I was thinking, you know, how could we do it? Yes, to teach them Eid is special, maybe give them some Eid, inshallah ta'ala. You know, there's no harm sometimes breaking a rule here or there. Of course, as long as it's not the rules of Sharia. Yes? But otherwise, you know, you may have a rule, you may break it here and there. Then do so, inshallah ta'ala. But that's Eidi, there you go. That's one story for me to share. What is the story that I didn't give my kids Eidi? And Eidi, a lot of people don't do it at all, by the way. Many people, they stop giving it. They've stopped giving it, really. People don't really give Eidi no more. I remember how it used to be is, you know, our father used to have to carry a bunch of money. Yes, they used to have to carry a bunch of money. Why? Because everywhere they go, all the kids are going to give them money. And this was back in the days, I remember they used to give like a fiver. And mashallah, we have a massive family. And giving it to everyone is a lot of money. Yes, it is a lot of money, subhanAllah. But I think that's died down now. I think that's died down to a sense. Maybe because many times it would be very difficult even to afford it. Kids' population, family is increasing all the time, isn't it? Wallahu a'lam. But we generally have seen family, relatives, etc. Eid has become less. Although sometimes I still do, inshallah ta'ala. Sometimes I think if somebody's doing some good. For example, one of my nephews, what did he do? He kept the fast of the full month. And he performed all Taraweeh fully standing up, not even sitting down. He's young, he's not very young, he's about 9 years old or so. He's, you know, a young kid. But now to show him I'm very, very happy. I said, look, I didn't, because this was the Eid that I got, I didn't have no cash with me. So the Eid that my dad gave me, I gave it to him. I said, look, I'm very, very proud of you. You've done very, very well. So I've given it to him. I didn't give it to my own children. Yes, and I gave it to him. Why? Because there was a reason to. MashaAllah, well done. You've done very, very well. You deserve this. Here you go. Generally, as I said, I'm not really for giving kids money. But subhanAllah, here you go because you've done very, very well, inshaAllah ta'ala. Buy a dessert, buy whatever you want. InshaAllah ta'ala, go and spend it and enjoy yourself because you've done well. Inshallah, so there's, you know, so sometimes you do give it. That's what we're talking about. Do you give? In fact, this is a question for the audience now. And we are going to go to the kalam. But a question for the audience. Should we give kids money for Eid? Let's, you know, understand, try to understand what is your mindset? What's your way of thinking? Some people will be like, no, I don't think we should. Because, you know, then kids start thinking about money or sometimes they get greedy. Sometimes they get greedy and they begin to ask for money. Oh, you didn't give me no Eid. Oh, give me, where's my Eid? Okay, can I have some Eid? Can I have some Eid? Yes, maybe sometimes kids might start asking and expecting it. Which sometimes is not good, is it? Imagine they're asking random people for Eid. Yes? Or sometimes it may be that they look greedy to a sense. So somebody's coming and taking some money and they think, ooh, you know, come close, oh, Eid, am I getting it? So maybe sometimes, you know, it may, I don't know, what is your, you know, how do you, other people may think, no, it's a tradition in our family and we are going to stick to our tradition. Our father, yes, our grandfather, grandparents, etc., they all used to give us Eid, so we're going to carry on the tradition and we should carry on the tradition and we should give them money. That may be your mindset. Of course, it's not religious. That's why I say tradition. And this is not religious tradition because sometimes you call the sunnahs, you call them tradition too. Yes, but that's Islamic tradition. That's religious tradition to a sense. But I'm speaking about general tradition on Eid, giving money. Did the Prophet ﷺ ever give money on Eid? Did he ever give money? I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't think I've ever heard of it. Wallahu a'lam, Allah Ta'ala knows best. Yes, Eid was celebrated. Sadaqat al-Fitr is given, so it's given to the poor. And people would give Sadaqat al-Fitr, which is date or wheat or, you know, depending on what it may be. And so some sort of money is given to the poor. So money is, if you wish money, at that time, of course, they didn't have money as in paper. It would be silver coin, gold coin. And if you're Madinah Channel, mashallah, you're watching Madinah Channel from all over the world. There would be people in America watching Madinah Channel, in Canada watching Madinah Channel, in various parts of Africa watching Madinah Channel, in various parts of Asia watching Madinah Channel, in Australia. In Australia, some people, it's the same because a lot of people, you know, coming from wherever you may be. Yes, those who, especially those countries where, mashallah, Muslims have been living there for tens or maybe even hundreds of years. It's those countries. Wherever you may be, is it a practice in your family? Is it not a practice? Have you never heard of this before? Have you never ever heard of this before? Maybe there would be. No, I've never heard of this. What, this is what you do for your kids? No, our Eid is what? So as I said, people celebrate Eid in the different ways. Our Eid is what? We all get together. This is what some people do now. So sometimes when you have a massive, massive family, you think, why don't we rather than just going to one house and then going to another house and then going to a third house and then going to a fourth house, and this is what people are doing, and they're eating all day. Like yesterday, the amount of meals I had, subhanAllah, going from about one meal to maybe 10 meals I had yesterday. A'udhu billah, and if I've done anything wrong, then astaghfirullah. But what I did do, alhamdulillah, can't say I've done anything wrong. What I did do is, wherever I went, I controlled how much I ate. So maybe I went to one house, I'll eat a little. You see, is there a job to say, no, have some more, have some more? No, I'll have a little amount. I'll go to this place, I'll have, for example, everyone has, well, nearly everyone has rolls or samosas, and people make all sorts of cakes and all sorts of sweet dishes. You know, also, you know, at home they bake so many things at home, etc., etc. And there's all, you know, different types of foods. So at one place, maybe you'll eat a samosa here. Maybe you'll go to the next house, you'll eat a roll. Maybe you'll go to the next house, you'll have a little dessert. Maybe you'll go to the next house. And sometimes, you know, you see a few different things. Like, oh, taste this and taste this and taste that. And subhanAllah, sometimes you go to some people's houses and there's these foods which you have no idea what on earth is this. You know, I've never seen it before. People have all sorts of cuisines. Yesterday I went to one house, mashallah, they had a Afghani, although they're Pakistani, mashallah. They had Afghani cuisine, which is brilliant. May Allah Ta'ala bless them and grant them more barakah. Another place we went to, and they had it was more of a Southeast Asian, you know, like towards Malaysia side cuisine thing. So people make that, you know, all sorts of different types of foods. Sometimes they'll travel to different places, they like one thing, they learn how to make it. Okay, let's make an Eid for everyone. So, you know, you'll get all sorts of people making all sorts of different things, and sometimes they'll try different things. Sometimes they like something, and you're like, oh, I wouldn't mind having another one. Or I wouldn't mind having another one. So yesterday, I possibly had about 10 meals. And it's funny because one person yesterday said, I've had like 10 desserts today. And another person said to him, this is my relatives, yeah, I was with them. Another person said to me, well, yeah, don't worry, just carry on, mashallah, you know, you've detoxified your, I don't know what the actual word is it detoxified? Is it detoxed? You know, Allah said, you know, your body's gone through a detox. Don't worry about it, your body's been reset. I was like, yeah, so you've cleared it out, so now you might as well date it again. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? But nevertheless, that was just a joke, banter amongst us, you can say. But, you know, people look at things in different ways. Why am I talking about this? Yes, that we've had the month of Ramadan where we've been hungry. And it is like a reset. It really is like a reset. It's as if, you know, for so many people, they would have become so much more healthy. Yes, like me, I actually need to weigh myself. I don't know, I've not weighed myself in some time. When was the last time I weighed myself? And I'll check that out because I've got it all recorded. So I'm going to weigh myself again. And then let's see if I've lost any weight or not. Have I lost weight? Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. I actually don't know. I'm actually not sure. Maybe I have. Maybe I have lost some weight, inshallah ta'ala. But I know I feel healthy. Alhamdulillah, because not only have I been fasting, I've been exercising. Yes? Alhamdulillah, I feel healthy. And you know, that's, of course, one of the most important things. Something we did start that I don't wish to stop, by the way, is that we've been having the tafsir. Each and every single day. So inshallah, we are going to the kalam, and then we are going to go to the tafsir, and then maybe I'll share, I don't know, I actually didn't intend to do this, but subhanallah, you know, it is, okay, so then you'll be like, is it actually Eid today though? Then that's another question, is it Eid today? What does it say over there, subhanallah, blessings of Eid al-Fitr, you know, the second day. Some people think, yes, Eid is for 3 days. In reality, technically, it's only one day, isn't it? It's only one day. You know, sometimes if you wish, you can celebrate it a little more. You have a big family, like even me. I was thinking that I wish a few of my aunties and uncles, etc. They've said, look, they want to see my kids. Bring them over. Bring them for Eid. Why are you not bringing them for Eid? I said, inshallah, I'll bring them later. I did make the intention. But because I've made that intention, I do need to act upon that, inshallah. So yesterday I was not able to, but hopefully today, inshallah, I'll take them to a few family homes, inshallah. There you go, my dear viewers of Madani channel. Can I say it's Eid? It's Eid, inshallah. You can't say it's Eid. In a way, it is Eid. May Allah Ta'ala bless you all. And yes, Eid is a time of happiness. Yes, it's very, very sad. Ramadan has passed. If you've made the most of Ramadan, mashallah, brilliant. You truly have an Eid. If Ramadan's gone, then to be honest, of course, if you've committed sins, then you must repent. If you've committed sins, you must repent. And if you miss fasts, you must make up for them. If you've missed any fasts, you must make up for them. To be honest, there are more fasts too, but we'll speak on that more, inshallah ta'ala. Let's first get to the kalam, inshallah ta'ala, because there are so many things, inshallah ta'ala, maybe to share with you guys. First, let's go to the kalam by our respected Haji Abdul Habib At-Tari, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, a beautiful, a brilliant individual. May Allah ta'ala bless him so much, mashallah. So let's go to the kalam, and then we do need to get to our tafsir. This is something we've started, and this is something I want to keep, and I want to make part of our rise and shine, inshallah, which is reading the tafsir every single day, inshallah, because our every day shall revolve. Yes, Ramadan was a month of the Quran, but ultimately every single day of ours should be a day of an attachment or learning from the Quran. Yes, every single day It should be a day in which we learn from the Quran, inshallah. So let's go to the first the kalam, and then inshallah we'll get to the tafsir of the glorious Quran too, inshallah ta'ala. So first let's go to the kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Allahu ghafoor, Allahu ghafoor, Allahu rahim, Allahu rahim, Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin, huwa khaliquna, huwa raziquna, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. إن الله على كل شيء قدير يا رب العالمين الله الله الله صل على طه الأمين الله الله الله في كل وقت وحين الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله الله الله ما في قلبي غير الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله املأ قلبي باليقين الله الله الله ثبتني على هذا الدين الله الله الله واغفر لي والمسلمين الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله الله الله ما في قلبي غير الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله وہ تنہا کون ہے الله الله الله بادشاہ وہ کون ہے الله الله الله مہرباں وہ کون ہے الله الله کیا اونچی شان ہے الله الله الله سب دلوں کی جان ہے الله الله الله اس کی اپنی شان ہے اللہ اللہ اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ اللہ اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ اللہ اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ اللہ اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ اللہ اللہ راز دل کے جانے وہ اللہ اللہ اللہ حال بھی پہچانے وہ اللہ اللہ اللہ پھر بھی توبہ مانے وہ اللہ اللہ اللہ آسیوں کی آس ہے اللہ اللہ اللہ اس کی رحمت خاص ہے اللہ اللہ اللہ سب دلوں کے پاس ہے اللہ اللہ اللہ حسبی ربی جل اللہ اللہ اللہ ما فی قلبی غیر اللہ اللہ اللہ نور محمد صلی اللہ اللہ اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ اللہ اللہ Oh Allah, the Almighty, Allah, Allah, Allah, protect me and guide me, Allah, Allah, Allah, through your love and mercy, Allah, Allah, Allah, Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah, Allah, Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allah, Allah, Allah, محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله Who is the all-capable? Allah, Allah, Allah. The curer and the healer. Allah, Allah, Allah. Who's the
the dominant all over.
Allahu Allah, Allah. Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah. Allahu Allah. Ma fi qalbi ghayrullah. Allahu Allah. Nuri Muhammad sallallahu. Allahu Allah. La ilaha illa Allah. Allahu Allah.
Of adar gunah.
Allahu Allah.
Allah. Alimin padishah.
Allahu Allah.
Allah. Yüreklerin penaha.
Allahu Allah.
Allah.
Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah. Allahu Allah. Ma fi kalbi gayrullah. Allahu Allah.
Allah.
Nuri Muhammed sallallahu. Allahu Allah. La ilahe illallah. Allahu Allah.
İşit Allah derdimi bu ahlara ama. Rahmeyle bağışla günahlara ama. Hayrayley hem akşam hem sabahlara ama.
Allah. Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah. Allahu Allah. Ma fi kalbi gayrullah. Allahu Allah. Muhammed sallallahu. Allahu Allah. La ilahe illallah. Allahu Allah.
Rabbul mashriqayn wa rabbul maghribayn. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. Woh dono mashriqon ka rab hai aur dono maghribon ka rab hai, to tum dono apne rab ki kaun kaun si ne'maton ko jhutlaoge. Lord of the two easts and the two wests, so which of your Lord's favors will you deny?
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Mashallah wa azza wa jalla. One thing I love about the kalams, mashallah, recited by our respected Haji Abdul Habib is they're also calm, nice and calm, and it's just one of those which you could just listen. You could just listen to them, and just, you know, they're relaxing, even soothing. They're quite soothing, mashallah. You can even do something else and just have it on in the background, and you know, it just, alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala grant them more barakah, mashallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant them so much more barakah. Alhamdulillah. So many of you are on the channel every single day, part of our rise and shine, and you must keep this a part of our rise and shine. What we have is the Tafsir Miftahul Ihsan. This is a Tafsir written by our respected Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, Mashallah Azza wa Jal. So, you know, they've written this, and they've written it quite brilliantly, Mashallah. Honestly, I think it's brilliantly written, Mashallah. I've said it many a time, straight to the point, simple, is brief, it's really one you should read, inshallah. And this is what we're doing, part of our rise and shine, mashallah, every single morning, so that we can not only begin our Quran with listening to the recitation of the Quran and the translation to a sense, and you know, the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we can also, you know, try to learn about the Quran too, listen to the tafsir too, mashallah. So I'm going to read the Arabic and then the translation and then the tafsir too, inshallah. So bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa id akhadna mithaqa bani isra'il la ta'buduna illa Allah wa bil walidaini ihsana wa dhil qurba واليتامى والمساكين وقولوا للناس حسنا وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة ثم توليتم إلا قليلا منكم وأنتم معرضون. The translation is, and when we took a covenant from the Bnu Israel that do not worship anyone other than Allah and be good to parents and relatives and orphans and the needy and speak good to people and keep salah established and pay zakat. You then turned away from that covenant, except a few amongst you. And you are merely the ones who turn their faces away from the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. This is our religion. Yes, be good to your parents, be good to your relatives, be good to orphans, be good to, you know, I mean, treat them kindly. Yes, treat them kindly. Treat the needy kindly. Yes, speak good words to people. Pray your salah, establish your zakat, inshallah ta'ala. Beautiful, mashallah. Let's read the tafsir. Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding the Yahud of the commandments that He gave to them, previous nations, and the covenants that He took from them to abide by those commands. But they intentionally and willfully turned away from this promise. In the Torah, the children of Sayyidina Yaqub. So Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, he's known as Israel. And that's how you get the Banu Israel, the children of, in English you'll say the children of Israel. It comes from who? Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, his children are the children of Yaqub. Yes, the children of Israel. Yes, and that's how they're known as Banu Israel. So it says that in the Torah, the children of Prophet Yaqub were commanded that they worship no one except Allah and associate no one with Him in worship. This is the highest and most important right, that he be worshipped alone. And the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be accepted as the seal of prophethood. Thereafter are the rights of parents, and to have utmost respect for them, serving them physically and materially, and trying to fulfill their lawful wishes, because they are a medium of our birth and existence, and to be good to relatives because they are related to one's parents, and to be good to orphans and the needy and speak good words to people, i.e. invite them to the path of piety and prevent them from all types of evils, and to establish prayer as the Prophet have established, and to pay zakat, poor due, as mentioned in the divine laws of Allah Azza wa Jal. But, O Yahud, you found all of these commandments and you promised to follow them, but then you turned away from that promise and rejected most of them, except for a few amongst you. And you became rejecters of the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, just like your forefathers. We've read one verse, inshallah, we shall try to read three. So the next verse, and this is verse number 84. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. And when we took a covenant from you that you should not shed blood of your own people and should not banish your own people from your towns, you then affirm that, i.e. the covenant, and you are witnesses to that covenant. Remember, O Yahud, that when a covenant was taken from your forefathers, not to shed the blood of each other and not to banish unjustly your own people from your towns, you heard, acknowledged, and endorsed this agreement. You're also witnesses to this agreement, because this incident of the agreement of your forefathers has reached you via mass transmission. To deny it is equal to denying something that one has seen with the naked eye. Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. This is tafsir Miftahul Ihsan. My dear viewers on Madinah channel, there we go. Alhamdulillah, we have read some of the tafsir. Please do make this part of your, inshallah, your daily life. To read, at least, mashallah, if you're joining Rise and Shine, then to a sense, that's brilliant too, mashallah ta'ala. You have, you know, you've joined Raza Chai. We've learned a little, haven't we? Yes, you've learned a little. We've heard some stories here and there. Maybe some advice. And how much advice can I give? I can only just share my experience, inshallah. And I hope it will be of benefit to you. Well, I hope I'm not sitting here on Madani Channel and rather than providing benefit, causing harm. Inshallah, I'm not. And I don't think I am, inshallah, azzawajal. But I have this hope that I am, you know, teaching you some good. And my dear viewers, we are going to quickly go to the daily reminder. And then there's something else I would like to share. And this is what that, yes, Ramadan has passed, but it doesn't mean that that's the end of fasting. Because fasting is not only for Ramadan. Remember this. Fasting is not only for Ramadan. Let's first, inshallah, go to the daily reminder. And then we shall speak a little more of that. And some of you may have seen this book on the table. I'm thinking, oh, he's still got that book there, but Ramadan's finished. So why have you got that there? Then maybe you should remove that book. This is the brilliance of this book, my dear viewers. Ramadan may have finished, but trust me, we are still in need of this book. How? We'll get to that. First, let's go to the daily reminder. So even right now, I can still say, go Google Blessings of Ramadan PDF, download the book, or even purchase this. Even now, I can say this because even now, this book, although Ramadan is finished. Yes? But there's still so much we can attain. There's still so much we need from this book. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll speak more on that. Let's first go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's luminous companions, blessed companions, had a great level of taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite being dwellers of paradise, they were told on earth that they'd be in paradise. Quranic verses attest to this. Some companions were even mentioned by name. The Prophet alayhi salam mentioned their name and said they are in Jannah. The likes of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan. Uthmanu fil Jannah. But how much taqwa did they have? How much did they still fear Allah? We learn from narrations like the following. Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu says, on the day of judgment, if I'm told to stand between paradise and hellfire, and I'm not aware which way I'm going to go, whether to paradise or to hellfire, then I would prefer, before any announcement is made regarding this, that I turn to ashes on the spot, rather than wait for a hukam that you are to go here or there. This was the fear that penetrated every vein of their heart, their body. And they got this from the quote of the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ was the most God-fearing in the entire creation of Allah Jalla wa'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Sahaba, grant us a drop of this fear of Allah, taqwa Allah, that they possessed.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. This book is Blessings of Ramadan. The book just looks so brilliant too. MashaAllah, it actually really is a brilliant book. Alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. Now, subhanAllah, as I was saying, that this book, yes, is called The Blessings of Ramadan, but it's not limited to Ramadan. Because that's one of the blessings of Ramadan is that, you know, the blessings of Ramadan continue. So during the month of Ramadan and for the entire month, we have to fast. Yes, it's fard for us to fast. But that's not the fast of Ramadan are not the only fast. That's not the only time the Prophet ﷺ would keep fasts. There was a fast of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Rasulullah ﷺ will fast 10th of Muharram. Rasulullah ﷺ would fast on Mondays and Thursdays, and sometimes more added to it. Rasulullah ﷺ, he would fast, this is the famous saying, من صام رمضان وأتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. There's a narration, and if I remember correctly, this mentioned in Sahih Muslim Sharif, that person who he fasts during the month of Ramadan. So of course, Ramadan fasting is fard. We have to. Like one person said, he said, "Oh, you know, I kept all my fasts, but I missed one." He says, "Oh, I'm quite upset." And he said this in front of a few people. I still do need to correct him, because I was thinking, because remember, even when you correct somebody, you don't always correct them in front of them. I could have said, look, sometimes you shouldn't really share it with anyone, with everyone. But I thought, you know, sometimes it's better to, because sometimes when you're correcting somebody, it's better to do so privately. So that is on my mind. Inshallah, I'm going to see that person. Inshallah, I will tell that person. But one thing is, there's some things you don't tell people. So let's just say I did maybe break a fast. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's by accident. You see, if a person does something by accident, then in a way, you know, they can't really be blamed, can they? Somebody has an excuse. So he actually mentioned his reason too. He says, because of this, I was so, so ill, I still didn't eat. He says, I think he still said, I still didn't eat. Maybe he drank, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Wallahu alam. Of course, that's something to speak to him about. But the point being is, not everything's to share with everyone. Because sometimes a person may think, oh yeah, that person missed a fast. So, you know, I'm feeling really ill today. I think I might miss a fast. Somebody may do this. So if you do something like this, you don't need to share it with everyone. You don't need to share it with everyone. However, one thing, and this is again, at that time I didn't really have an opportunity to speak to him. But if a person is to miss a single fast of Ramadan, then a person can fast his entire life and he still can't make up for that single fast of Ramadan. This is the importance, the greatness of the blessed month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. This is the greatness of the fast of Ramadan al-Mubarak. So okay, we're running out of time. I need to quickly, Allahu Akbar. So yes, we fast during Ramadan, but that's not all. There's more fast too. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast many other times too. And one thing here too, so the name of this month now is Shawwal. Yes? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to keep 6 fasts. And some of the scholars have stated that don't keep all 6 at once. Give it some space. Yes, so even today, maybe some people are in a way still celebrating Eid. You're going to go to houses. Okay, maybe you'll wait a few days. Yes, and then keep one fast, maybe miss a day in between. Then keep a second fast, miss a day in between. Keep a third fast, etc. Yes, but try to keep 6 fasts during this month. So what you can do is, well, how I'm thinking of doing is, Saturday, Sunday, I'll keep, so this coming Saturday, Sunday, I'll keep 2. Next Saturday, Sunday, I'll keep 2. The third Saturday, Sunday, keep 2, inshallah. So that way you've kept 6. And that way you've acted upon it too. And yes, you should fast on Mondays and you should fast, you know, all these other days. But that will depend on your situation. Yes, that will depend on your own situation, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, just a few words here. Ramadan may have left us. Ramadan may have finished. Yes, we're celebrating Eid, but don't think that that's the end of fast. Don't think that that's it. Now we no longer need to go pray Salah. Don't think that, oh no, now we no longer have to do all these good things. Why? Because it's not Ramadan. No. Ramadan was there to train us. Ramadan was a detox for us to cleanse ourselves, for us to purify ourselves. Yes? And to come into the next year in a way, meaning the new year, or in a way it's a new year if you consider it after Ramadan, the rest of the year, to better ourselves for the rest of the year. Yes, don't like if you go into a detox, don't people actually go to detoxes, or if you, for example, if you went into the shower, let's give you this example. If you went, if you're playing out maybe in the mud, or maybe even went to the gym and you were all sweaty and things. Yes, you're all sweaty, you went out for a jog, the weather's nice, and you were sweating, and think, oh, damn, I stink. And I need a shower, really need a shower so badly. Yes, this is something how you feel, oh, I need a shower. You're going to get into the shower, aren't you? You're going to have a good, nice bath, you've cleaned yourself, you know, you've put on your whatever you put on in the shower gel or whatever it is to make yourself smell nice. Yes? And then you've worn nice fresh clothes, haven't you? Yes, and then, you know, you're smelling good, you feel nice and clean, etc. Now you can relax, or now you can do whatever you want to do. Now, after getting out of the shower, are you going to get even back into those same old clothes? Would you? So how it is with me, every time I have a shower, even if I've had a shower again, I cannot get back into one thing the same clothes. Another thing is especially the same underwear. I'll change it, alhamdulillah, possibly every day. Yes, every single day. Because that's just me, you know, a person. I'm not saying you have to. Why? Because I feel dirty if I've gone, especially if I've gone into the shower, and then I've come out, you don't want to wear the old same clothes, and it doesn't, then what's the point of having a shower in a way? Or after getting out of the shower, you're going to start running again. You think, no, I've done my jogging, I've had a shower, and now I don't want to be sweating again. I'm not going to go out into the sun too much again because I don't want to start sweating again. That's what you would do, wouldn't you? So, why? Because you've cleansed yourself now. You've purified yourself, you've cleaned yourself. You're not going to go out playing into the dirt again. And that's what you'll tell your kids, oh, I've just given you a shower, don't go out playing into the dirt now. Make sure you keep your clothes clean, we'll just change your clothes. So after Ramadan, if we've detoxed, if we have now purified ourselves, inshallah. Yes, we've been keeping fast, our body, physically even, as well as this, mentally, spiritually, mashallah, we have cleaned ourselves. We have, you know, worshipped, we have been reciting the glorious Quran. Are we going to straight away leave and get straight back into sin? So, it's Eid, let's go cinema. So in fact, I remember as kids, this is how it used to be with us. So the first day of Eid was you spend with family, second day of Eid was you go out with friends. And many people will do first day too. We have, mashallah, a very, very big family. So, you know, ours is, you know, you spend with family. And then the second Eid, you know, you go out with friends and people go into the cinema, they're going here or they're going there. And so my dear viewers of Madani channel, we're going straight back into the sin as if we've forgotten we've just had Ramadan. And you know, we stopped doing all these things during Ramadan. Why are we going to go straight back into this? Don't do that. Continue doing whatever good you started in Ramadan. You started reading the Quran. Continue reciting the Quran. You've shown that you can do it. If you can do something for 30 days, you can do something for long term. Even if it's of a lesser effect maybe. I'm not saying fast every single day. Fast once a week. Yeah, so even to a lesser level. Don't fast every day. Okay, fast once a week. You used to read the Quran, you used to read a full para every day. It used to take you nearly half an hour to an hour. Okay, read 10 minutes every single day. You used to, sallallahu alaihi Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pray 20 raka'at of Taraweeh every single night. Okay, pray 2 raka'at every night, inshallah. Just pray 2. Look at the difference. 10 times less from 20 to 2. No problem. No harm in this. And in fact, we're going to be speaking about this much more tomorrow, inshallah. Today we spoke about a few things about Eid. And this is just a reminder that we do need to now, right now we have the mindset, we're still in a way, we're still in the, you know, in Ramadan in a way. I know now you're starting eating everything, but I think one of the first things you do in the morning, like, I was questioning myself. Yes, before I came here, I normally, water is something I drink in the morning. Yes, I don't normally have my breakfast anyway, but I have water. So, you know, of course, I'm quizzing, like, oh, can I drink this water? Why? Because you still have that mindset of Ramadan. Oh, I'm fasting. So even on Eid, you think, oh, no, I can't eat this. I'm fasting. But then you remember, no, it's Eid now. Fasting finished. Yes? So right now we are in that mindset. We can still easily, inshallah ta'ala, we are at that time where we can continue doing these good things. We can fast, inshallah. It wouldn't be hard. If you were to keep a fast tomorrow, it wouldn't be very difficult at all because you've just kept it for an entire month. But if you're going to fill yourself for the next few days, 2 months, so don't overdo it. Yes, you have to go to family's house, or maybe you have to eat. Eat a little bit from everywhere, inshallah. Yes, and that way it's controlled. So alhamdulillah, yesterday I possibly had 10 meals. But those 10 meals, if you were to accumulate them together, would probably be maybe one meal I had. A big meal, you can say. Maybe yesterday I had one big meal, inshallah ta'ala. So still control it. So normally I try to have all mine at one time. Yes? But yesterday it was the timing was split up. Okay, it's Eid though. You have the excuse. Yes? But inshallah, whatever good you can do, keep up the good. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Inshallah, we'll be back tomorrow with more Rise and Shine. Please do join us then. For now, may Allah ta'ala allow us to continue our good works and our good deeds, inshallah, azza wa jal. Be respectful to everyone, be kind. And you know, you did so much good during Ramadan, continue with it. You stopped swearing in Ramadan, don't start swearing now. You stopped all these bad things during Ramadan, don't stop now, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless you all. I'm gonna stop there. Otherwise, I'll never stop. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will